Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, it's been a chaotic week. It's been an extremely chaotic week with what's going on in the world. You know what's the greatest war that is being waged today? Which part of the world it is? It is right here in our courts. It is the biggest war that we are engaged in. And sometimes, some days we win and sometimes we lose. And when we lose our peace, we lose everything. And this is the big war that's going on. Everybody wants peace. I love watching beauty pageants. Not that I just watch them, but when Miss Universe, you know, you see them on TV. They all come nicely dressed, they walk up and they have these interviews, right? So they are asked, you know, what would you like to do, you know, with this? And it's fascinating. Everybody, world peace. You know, like they just say it in such a way that, wow, I want to make you a prime minister. Or you need to become a queen or this. But the next question is, it's never asked, how are you going to accomplish world peace? They're not interested. And it's amazing how many things we say, but we don't mean them, right? It's just like sometimes we sing songs and somebody said, you know, one of the theologians said, Christians don't tell lies on the streets, they just sing them in churches. And it's so true. It's true in my life, you know. It's true, hopefully, in your life, because this is what humans are. You know, we tend to promise too much but give so little. And why is it? Because we struggle. We struggle with fears, and fears are real within each and every life. We justify those fears. We empower those fears. And Jesus says, do not fear. Trust me, do not fear. It's hard to trust Christ when things are just falling apart all around you, right? And some people come up with a scripture reading. He says, well, just read this verse. Everything will be fine. I say, well, I don't feel like reading the verse today. Do you ever feel like that? You just don't feel it. It's just like you're just so miserable. And it's okay to be miserable from time to time. The problem becomes when you dwell in that misery. It's just going to overtake your life. And last week we talked about disappointments, and I said disappointments are part of life. You're never going to avoid them unless you go to Alaska and live in the middle of nowhere, and you'll be disappointed if the number of bears are going to come and just wreck your cabin. And then even bears are going to disappoint your life. You see, so there's no escaping from disappointment. Sometimes you're going to disappoint yourself. And that happens. You know, a lot of that, you know, I should not have done that. What a foolish thing. But you know what? We all do it. We've all been there. Now, that's reality. Now, this week I sent an email out and I said, if you were given superpowers, what would you do with these superpowers? Even for a day or two. And I got, you know, I get emails back and somebody says, you know, if I was given superpowers, I want to know my wife better. I want to understand her better. I was almost tempted to email back, I'll say, good luck, you need more than superpowers. It's like the genie, you know, appeared in the desert. There was this guy who was lost and he was just walking around and he had three wishes. The first wish was, you know, for some water, I guess. He gave it to him. The second wish, he wanted to build a highway from one end to all the way to his city. Genie said, well, that's impossible even for Genie to do. The third wish, he says, all right, I want to understand my spouse better. And he says, that highway, do you want it two lanes or three lanes? There's certain things that are impossible. We will never completely understand each other. Because our struggles in life, our value systems, the way we've grown up, it shapes the way we deal with reality. Now, there's right and there are wrong ways of dealing with reality for the Christian, because the moment you become a Christian, you're not born a Christian. You're born again as a Christian. And I know this born-again theology is very southern theology. I'm not going with all that. I'm talking about real biblical teaching, that if you become this born-again through the Spirit of God Christian, your value system will shift and must shift, because you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's what scripture says. The apostle Paul goes even further. He says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This new life that I live for him. So one of the things we need to understand that the demands on the Christian as a believing Christian is very different than those who are not. So we will be talking today is what does it mean to have peace? Now, we need to start somewhere. But let me tell you what Thomas Merton said. We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. There's so much truth in this. Because ultimately, if you're not at peace with yourself, you're always going to be waging wars with others. And it's so true. It is so true. And the moment we start waging war, it's really we are taking everything from inside and just pouring it out. And the question becomes is, if we, this place that is, and it all happens here, you feel it, right? Right in your gut. Right? And it happens right at the core. But the core, if it's not in harmony with God, it's always going to produce war. Remember Cain and his brother Abel? I mean, born to the same family, their parents were enjoying paradise itself. You couldn't get any better marriage than that marriage that was performed by God in the presence of, you know, all the stuff, animals like that, in the Garden of Eden. And then they were kicked out. They had two children and many other children. But imagine, they've never seen war before. They've never seen hatred before. At the very point, Cain hates Abel. Why? Because his sacrifices are better accepted by God than his. Now, he goes and murders his brother. Over what? Over a sacrifice. So you could see this core. If the core is not right with God, it's going to produce enmity with others. And you're going to be the one who's suffering the most out of this. So you're going to be taking it on everybody else. And it happens to each and every one of us. You know, no one is exempt from it. Even the Pope is not exempt. Remember how he cut somebody's hand last week? I give him a lot of credit. Poor guy. I mean, somebody pulled his hand. And the man is like, you know, like, hey, I've got arthritis. I'm not Jesus here, you know. Like, it hurts. Stop it. No one covered arthritis. Every Pope should not have acted like this. If I was there, I would have punched the person. That must have really hurt. But no one understood. No, you know, he's a holy man. What makes a person holy? Jesus, not us. So we need to be very careful. Sometimes I think we are hyper-spiritual. To be free from selfishness, a prayer must be according to the will of God, as that will is revealed in the scripture. A lot of people, you know, fascinating. We pray for things to be done for our own benefit. I want this, Lord. I want this, Lord. That I want might not be part of the will of God in any way, shape, or form, but I want this to happen, Lord. You know how much you love me. But think about it. Is this for His glory or for your own glory? It might sound all good. You know, prayers are wonderful sometimes. You know, cute, they're praying for their little angel. It must be according to the will of God as revealed in the scriptures for the honor of God rather than for the mere fulfillment of carnal ambition made in unaffected love for God and men. And you know, most of our prayers have to do with us. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes we're little mortal creatures. We need to ask things. Lord, please, could you do this? But add to your prayer this. But Lord, if it's not according to your will and it's not going to bring glory to you, please do as you will, not my will. Remember Jesus, how he prayed? That was a terrible thing he felt. Lord, not my, take this cup away from me. But not my will, but your will be done. I think those prayers add such authority to the prayers that we are praying. Then they become part of the will of God. That it's not about, God already knows our prayers. God already knows what we're going through. God can sort things out in a blink of a second, of an eye. But He wants you more than He wants the answer to your prayer. Because the problem with life, when we get the answer to our prayers, we forget as creatures. We move to the next topic. That's how humans are made. We just move. We always have problems. If we don't have problems, we'll create problems. I have met people and I spoke to them. I say, where did that come from? What do you mean? I always had this in mind. I say, it was never revealed. You know, people love to create problems. The problem is, it's us. Always us. Sometimes it's not, but most of the time it's us. I love this scripture. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Not just, you know, a little peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The biggest problem for us today is to trust God in the midst of storms. And what I want us to do today is just how do we go from point A to point B in order for us to really have a better trust in the situations that we are in. And everybody's in a situation. If you don't have a situation, come in. Come to my office, I'll give you a few. You choose one. I'll make it your own, right? Remember this guy who was always ending everybody else's life? He complained to God so much. He says, God, you know, I've got so many problems. I look at everybody in church. They've got so many better lives. You know, they've got better lives than me. And God says, very well, maybe I've been unfair. He says, put all your problems in a bag and bring them with you the next day. And choose 10 from the congregation that you think they've got a better life than you. And he chooses those 10 names. And then, of course, he comes the next morning. And these 10 individuals show up with their little bags or big bags. And God says, all right, go and choose any bag you want and exchange your problems with theirs. And then he goes and checks each and every bag and then comes back to God and says, God, I really love my problems, actually. Do you see what happens is we're always thinking that everybody else has better than us. Because people love to talk about their lives and how glorious it is. But in reality, everybody has a challenge that's very different than the challenges that others have. But God will only give you the challenge that you can bear and you need at this stage in your life. Not more, not less. Job, you know, poor guy. He was a righteous man. He didn't ask for any troubles. Agree with God and be at peace. Thereby, good will come to you. Problem is, we are always waging war, not with others, but our real problem is with God. That's the core. But we are saying, well, I went to church, I felt great, but then when I went back, we need to work on that relationship. The relationship with God takes time. The more time you invest with God, the better you're going to be equipped to handle life's challenges. Remember Zechariah and Elizabeth? What was their biggest prayer request? I mean, they were both from priestly family. They always asked God for a kid, for a child. God answered their prayers, not at the time that they wanted, but many years after when they were really old. And that was a miracle in itself. So your prayers might not be answered just the way you want them, just so that you have peace just for a little while, because it might create bigger problems for you. Foundational for the Christian is peace with God. That's where it all needs to start. It doesn't start with my neighbor. You know, somebody says, I can't stand this person. I said, did you resolve the conflict? I don't need to. I'm moving away from them. I say, very good. What was her name? Mary. You're going to have problems with Martha. Same problems, name change. What do you mean? I said, life will teach you. Because you've never resolved it. I didn't say Mari. I said Mary. I didn't say Marianne. I just said Mary. I have to be so careful because right after the sermon, what happens is this. At the coffee hour, people come, did you know anything? No? Do I need to know anything? Then an email comes in the mail and says, Pastor, did anybody tell you about? No, that was just an example. Well, we can all identify with Mary's and Martha's because we all deal with Mary's and Martha's every day. Don't move from Mary to Martha without resolving the problem, because if you resolve it with Mary, you could stay where Mary is, because you're going to be able and capable of dealing with Mary. But it is very foundational for the Christian to have peace with God. I love this verse from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous, not made righteous by our own works, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can achieve peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. For some, it's not even enough. They want to do more works. But you don't need to. If you've been declared by the Almighty God through His Son, you are righteous, then that's where it needs to start. God is reconciling Himself to you through His Son. Jesus is the mediator. Just accept it and enjoy it and say thank you. But the problem becomes our religious traditions sometimes that we've grown up with that just creates so much discomfort within us that we have to do even more. And what it's doing, when you're insulting God's work on the cross, God's work is more than sufficient. Jesus is all sufficient. You have to do nothing about it. That's the foundation, the bottom line. We've got to have peace with God before we have peace with ourselves or peace with one another. The question becomes is, do we have true peace with God? I cannot answer it for you. And sometimes when we do, there are other things that come and just you start questioning those feelings, right? Am I really reconciled with God? Remember Satan came to the garden? Did God really say? There will always be those voices that will shake your faith. But do not believe in the lies, because Jesus is all sufficient. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, peace of God creates emotional peace. A lot of our problems is emotional, right? And it's interesting, most of our decisions in life are based on emotions. Sometimes we react to the emotions that are placed in front of us. And as men, we always try to find solutions to problems. That's our job as men, you know, find a solution, throw some money, everything will be fine. You have to take a step back. First of all, how is your and my relationship with the living God? If I have peace, that's foundational, then I could move up from there. And we must have peace with God before we can experience the peace of God. You know, it's amazing. There are some people, like in the midst of all tribulation, you see it on their faces. They are so calm and still. And people say, well, how are you handling it? By God's grace. Really? Because I would never be able to do what you're doing. I don't know how I'm handling it, but I have peace that transcends all understanding because I'm not in control of this situation. It hurts me. It angers me. I weep over it, but I have peace. Peace because He, whom I trust, is far more capable of handling the situation than I am. So do not ever forget to grieve over your problems, over the sadnesses that life brings, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It will make all the difference. You could do so much and let God do the rest. Scripture says, since God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. And a lot of people blame wars on God. You know, well, if God was just, he says what he is, he will avoid all wars. Well, wait, I say, who creates the wars? Well, if God was so powerful, he would have stopped that airplane, you know, in Iran, just, you know. But who did that? But if God controls us, then what's happening is that we've become robots. God has given us free will, and in this free will, we're going to create a lot of problems. Sometimes God, in his wisdom, is going to do things that you and I are not aware of. Let me ask you this. And I hate asking this. Is the loss of 176 lives greater than the loss of 1.7 million lives? Now, we will never know the answer because we never see the future. But God, in his wisdom, allows certain atrocities to happen. Sometimes it hits home, but we don't know his bigger plans because we are mortals. And he will not reveal it to us because we will never be able to handle it. God is shaping history using world events as well as our lives. You are where you are in the situation you and I are in. It's all part of God's plan. Even our own sins, God has brought it in such a place to accomplish his plans. At the end, as I said at the beginning, it's all for his glory, not ours. We will never understand certain things, but we must trust that the immortal knows far greater than mortal. Now, you want peace with God? Have peace with God, and you're going to experience the peace of God. I love Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be the boss of your heart. You know, the heart is a very deceitful thing, isn't it? It guides us right, it guides us left. It just Since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful, Scripture says. You know, gratefulness and thankfulness changes our attitude. I was just sharing with a number of you, you know, growing up, I never took anything for granted. And maybe it was a generational thing. You know, I whatever I was offered, I saw it as a gift that I did not deserve it, but I was given. So let me appreciate it. And I could not help but be thankful to the people who just, you know, gave it to me. Whatever it was, even, you know, if it was opening their home for a hospitality or helping me in my career or whatever it was, I was just so humbled that people can take me seriously. We're living in a generation where people are losing their thankfulness. They are just, if they're replacing the thankfulness with entitlement. I am entitled. I am entitled. And as parents, sometimes we have even no control over it in a nation like America, where people, and this is a Western thing, that is just like, I deserve better. Sometimes the reason for it is because this generation has never seen hard times. And I don't want them to see hard times. I don't pray for hard times. But hard times build character and a trust to the Lord and a heart of gratitude. That in small things or big things, I can say, thank you, God. I don't deserve this, but thank you. Thank you. And I think we need to instill this in our kids. Not only say thank you when somebody gives them something, but it will be a habit. It will be a rhythm in their lives. That they will live such lives knowing that they don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything, even the oxygen that we're breathing, the air that we're breathing. It is a gift from God. So therefore, our lives will be a life of gratitude. Everything we do will flow from a life of gratefulness. I don't deserve it, and what I have, Lord, it's a gift. So therefore, let me rejoice and give back. Do you see how it changes everything? And then our peace does not depend on our circumstances. That even in worse situation, Job was able to say, naked I've come, and naked will I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this man really did not deserve what he went through. If there was one person who did not deserve what he went through, it was Job. He was a righteous man. God says peace comes when we live in harmony with Him, when we do what He tells us to do. Most of our problems is when we live lives outside scriptures as Christians. Abundant peace, not just little peace, abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. I obey your decrees and love them greatly. Psalm 119, 165, and 167. You know, I get challenged as a minister. They said, you still believe in scriptures? I said, yeah. Just like very, very innocently, yeah, I do. Everything that's written, yes, I do. What about the cruelty of God? What do you mean with cruelty? They take a verse out of context, right? And I said, well, explain what you're saying, and then eventually I win the case. Right? Because most people, unfortunately, they know a verse from the Bible. They've never read the Bible. And I don't take credit. I say, hey, God, man, I'm on your side. But just challenge people who challenge. But I do believe in the Bible. I do believe it is the living Word of God. Living Word of God. It's not something that just, so if I abide by it, and I abide by God's Word, what did Jesus say? Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, somebody says, well, I don't know how true that is. I said, well, it's true. God does not lie. There's another verse, a person challenged me, you know, train the child in the way they should go. When they grow up, they're not going to depart from it. I do believe in that verse. I can not only do my best and leave the rest to God. If they rebel, that's their problem. But God, that's your problem. I did my part. I'm not doing my part as a, hey, I just send them to Sunday school. No, I live my life as an example as much as I could. Because I trusted in that verse. God will never fail us, nor forsake us, Scripture says. So fear not. You do your part as Scripture tells you. You've got nothing to fear. Fear comes when we live outside the Word of God. Yeah, it is disappointing sometimes to see that the people that you've prayed for, they're acting like lunatics. Seriously, you're like, Lord, I've wasted my time. Never wasted your time. You've just abided with what I've said. It's not for you, the results. Results are mine. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Muhammad did not give that. Buddha did not give that. Jesus gave that because he was capable of giving that. Because he is the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And if the Prince of Peace gives you his peace, you will have peace, even if you cannot explain it. I do not give to you as the world gives. You know, the world gives us a lot of peace. Some of the examples of peace that the world gives us is that if you have this, if you have this, if you have this, if you have that, then you will live a life of peace. Person achieves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they have peace for a week. Then they're going to start all over again to achieve other things. It's all about, I have to achieve, achieve, achieve. In the midst of all this, they're seeing therapists, they're seeing psychologists, they're seeing everything else in order to just have peace, in order to achieve peace. The Lord's peace is important. You don't have the peace that Jesus gives, you're never going to attain peace. No matter what you and I do, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And the other verse says, trust in God, trust also in me. At the end of the day, it's all about trust. Do I trust him blindly? People say you should never trust anything blindly. I do when it comes to Jesus. Because certain things I don't understand. Because I'm a mortal being. I don't see the big picture. Somehow I do, but I don't see it completely. But I trust blindly. You know why? Because I've been purchased at a price. I know that for a fact. So therefore, in heights or in depths, in sickness and in health, in whatever it is, Jesus stays constant. Life changes. He stays constant. So therefore, I trust him, even when I don't understand. That is a challenge sometimes. Because your knowledge, your education, people, circumstances will kick in and say, wake up before it's too late. I trust you is the answer. And that is just going to cost you, my friends. But it casts out a lot of anxieties. Anxieties have an expiry date in this. You know, Christians are not exempt from anxieties. But for the Christian, I believe anxiety should have an expiry date. If it doesn't, then it's sin. Because Scripture says, do not worry. We all worry as Christians. But our worry should end. It's part of life to worry. You know, it's part of... People say, you know, you're a Christian, you should not worry. I say, oh, don't be stupid, I'm a human being. I will worry. But in that time frame, as I worry, I'm not going to prolong my worry because, look, nothing has remained here above. I mean, just things are going to fall apart. That's what it does. Worry just creates anxiety. Anxiety creates sickness. You have to let go and let God. And Scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer. Amen. And supplication with thanksgiving. Again, the thanksgiving comes back, right? Try this. When you feel anxious this week, we all do every day, whatever the time of the day you feel anxious or angry or, you know, stressed, do me a favor. It really helps. It's a free tip. You know, what would you lose? Seize the day and think about God's faithfulness in your life. The moment you do that and you turn your anxiety into praise, you will see anxiety has no longer place. It will still be there. It'll be a close friend. Not a good friend, but a close friend. Pain in the neck. And I'll say, aren't you going to give me some space in your life? Not now. I've got a lot to praise God for. And it's amazing because certain things, worry is not going to make you change anything in your life. On the contrary, you're going to create bigger problems that were not there. Trust in the Lord. And then after you do this, let your requests be made known to God. God already knows, but make them known to God. And I love this verse. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So start somewhere, my friends, as you go out. Wherever you are, I know where I am. And you know where you are. But start somewhere, because you know what the problem is. You know, if one thing we know after this time that we've spent together, we know what the problem is what are we doing with that problem? Are we just buying more time, or are we, let me read some philosophical books of what this person said or that person said. No, just go to the source, the Prince of Peace. He's proved himself to be trustworthy throughout centuries. Human nature has not changed. It's still the same. And it will continue to be the same until the trumpet sounds. So there is hope for me and for you, before I forget. Amen.